Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon. I got Kyle with me, and we finally got one of our special guests to come, someone that I've been begging to come on the show for a really long time, and she finally decided to say yes. So welcome to the show, Katia Harris. Welcome, Katia.
Hi.
She's so excited. I can see it on her face. Well, it's excitement mixed with a little bit of apprehension, and there's no outline, so she's like, I don't know what this is going to turn out to be.
It's going to be interesting.
Yes. Intrigue. That's what the other part of it is. Intrigue.
You know what's going to happen? Mimo's going to come back from Japan and be like, you guys got Katia to come on the podcast?
She's going
to
be,
you know what? I was texting her last night and Damon had just sent me like, oh, Katia's going to come on. I meant to text her and I forgot. But then I thought of it this morning, but it's like 4 in the morning right now. And I don't want to wake her up on accident if she has her phone near.
Surprise her with the link.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Because actually when we finish, it's going to be almost time for her to wake up. So
she's going to be like so excited. That's going to be a good wake-up call. Well, anyway, so as we normally do with our first-time guests, we ask a question: what's God been highlighting to you recently? So Katia has a special story. We asked her before if she had anything, and she said it's actually been a journey for a year long, or at least a year.
Yeah.
But so Katia, why don't you share with us what God's been showing you recently?
Yeah, so it's for sure has been prior to when I took Pastor Barry's class of
hearing God's voice.
Yep. Yeah. And but during that class, actually, because I wasn't spending time really listening to him or trying to listen to him, you know, it was always you'd pray and that's it.
Not a lot of intentionality.
Yeah, not a lot of like two-way street. Yeah. And even though, it should be that kind of relationship. Mm-hmm. And so it was basically God has been telling me to trust him more, and not just trust him with only just a few things, trust him with everything.
Ooh.
And that's, you know, obviously we're going to get into, you know, what we talked about, what the
Sebastian
yeah. you know, had talked about, but it really was perfect for me, that message, and kind of like what God has been highlighting is that I just need to trust him more, and I wasn't trusting him more. Mm. And so, you know, I kept a journal too with what God has been saying to me, and it was the same thing, just all in different ways. Sometimes he'd be more stern, sometimes he'd be less stern, sometimes he'd be nicer. So it was... Yeah, it's been like that for so long, and it's been a struggle, I think, so.
Well, I don't know if I should ask this now or just wait till our conversation, but I'm curious to hear, like, what that brought out inside you. Like, is that fear, apprehension, like the unknown,
so
uncertainty,
oh, yeah.
all that kind of stuff, and how have you ongoing been processing like those types of things that well up inside?
Yeah, I've been better at it, especially after the class. And I think I need to do more of that two-way conversation with God, and I don't do it enough. And so the class was good, but it's, you know, like he says, you have to just keep doing it. It's like practicing. Mm-hmm. You got to practice everything, right? When I took Mimo's class,
emotionally healthy relationships.
Yeah. Yes. And it's like, you know, being in silent too, that part, which also plays into, I feel like having that relationship too, that two way thing. Cause sometimes it is like being in silence and being able to hear him.
Like quiet down the
quiet down. Yeah. The noise, because obviously we have so much distraction. I mean, I can go on about why we're distracted, but. So yeah, I think it's still ongoing, still practicing. I don't do it as much as I should. And I think I know people can relate because that distraction comes to play. So
I mean, I think it's easy for people to relate just because that hasn't necessarily been a focus of the church in general, is the listening part, right? A lot of times in churches when people grow up, it's I got to say the right things. I got to make it so that every, when I pray out loud, I got to say either big words or, you know, I have to make it so that people see, know that I'm good at praying. But then the focus is never on, like, God's going to talk back to you too. So you give him some space to listen and hear. So it's cool to see that, you know, as Pastor Barry has been teaching this class, that, you know, in your case, and a lot of people are incorporating that more into their daily life or their daily prayer life. And so being able to hear from him too.
Yeah. And it's funny because when I pray, like, my words are very basic. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not a, like, a fancy mm-hmm. prayer. Mm-hmm. But it's true. Like, for me, it's like, it really does help to be in that space, because then it's just like me and him mm-hmm. versus like thinking I need to, like, if I pray for other people or with other people, it's just, I feel like I have to be like, I don't know. I feel like I have to pray a certain way.
Performance,
like, Yeah. Like, and I can't really be myself mm-hmm, yet. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's always mm-hmm. been like a thing that I've challenged.
Yeah. So. No, kudos to you for this being ongoing. Cause I think it's one thing where it can be highlighted and brought up to us where we see this deficit or this area where we can step in and it's like, oh, this is so good. I need to do it. But to continue to do it, that's the challenge. And even if it's not perfect in the ongoing, it's like just keeping it moving is like that, the idea of habits and building habits. I think that's yeah. where a lot of us end up kind of giving in to the enemies, like, you know, just, for sure. just take a day off, just take a couple of days, just take a, it's okay. And then it's pretty
tomorrow.
Soon, and then pretty soon you're back in the same groove that you were in before.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. And I wish, I've never even heard of a class like that. I've never even heard of, like, oh, that's what you should do. Mm. You know, like, I got saved and, you know, I used to be at Cottonwood at the time, but there was no, I didn't know you had to do that. Mm. Like, I didn't know you could have that kind of relationship. Mm. Which ties into, you know,
like, you didn't know that
was fatherly a relationship too, yeah. you know? So it's,
you weren't aware that it was available.
No.
Right? Yeah. That's cool. So. No, Damon's not that mean. I just talked, it's your turn, bro. Come on.
You said that's cool. So that's enough.
No, that was the way I ended it. Come on, you weren't even listening. God, this is what I deal with, Katia.
I mean, we were talking about distractions, and sometimes I just get distracted because I love hearing Katia's voice and her accent. So I get distracted. It's like, ooh, I like hearing.
And so you weren't even listening to me. Thanks a lot. Now, okay, that makes sense.
I think he needs to take. Did you take Mimo's class?
Yes, I did take.
Well, you
Mimo's
need to retake
class.
It.
Yeah,
you need to reread.
How to be an active listener.
How to be an active listener.
A Stern getting called
there
out on
go.
My on my own show. I'm getting called out. Sheesh.
Or you should repeat what I'm saying right now, so you know.
So what you're saying is that I need to take Mimo's class again.
Yes.
Well, I think one of the things that's really cool too is just how your journey in learning to trust the Lord and not just with parts of your life, but the whole thing. That really falls in line with one of the themes for our church this year, which is wholehearted surrender, right? And it's not just giving the Lord part of our heart, not just 80%, but it's giving him our whole thing and being able to trust him with all of that, right? And so I think it's really cool just how the Lord has been bringing you personally on that journey, but then as well as our church at the same time. I think that's been really cool. Yeah. So kind of along those lines, Sebastian came and he is a missionary and he's part of YWAM and he came to visit our church this week. And we also got a chance to spend time, or the staff got a chance to spend some time with him on Tuesday at our staff meeting as well. But he gave this sermon on Sunday and part of the focus was on obedience and giving the Lord all of it. Mm-hmm. Obeying with all of ourselves and trusting the Lord with all of ourselves and not just in some areas, but really in all of them. Because it is really easy to say, okay, the Lord, I give you these two things, but I'm going to keep these other things to myself. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so kind of when we were prepping for this episode, right when Katia got here, she's like, oh yeah, that really touched me because that's actually what God's been highlighting. So
that's me.
I think it's just really cool, just the timing of everything. And that's kind of how it seems like the podcast has been recently. It's just the Lord's timing with different guests has always lined up with the sermon. So it just really feels like the Lord is just lining things up. So, Katie, were there anything specific about Sebastian's message that stood out to you?
Yeah, I think like the biggest thing was when he spoke and said that, you know, you have to trust him with everything. And again, like what you're I'm repeating what you're saying, but I was only trusting him on a few things. Mm. And everything else, I was like, no, I got it, God. Mm-hmm. Like, I can do that. I'm in control of that. You know, I'm not going to give that to you.
I'm good at that.
I'm good at that. And I am.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, never to 100%. And never to, and even that is that I would trust, I would be in control of that one thing, but that one thing would actually cause so much anxiety, so much stress. Mm-hmm. Unhappiness, really. Mm-hmm. But it's like when, again, you give it all to him, mm-hmm. it's like you have this thing lifted off of you. Mm-hmm. And it's like you can still put some control, like not control, but you can.
He wants you to participate in it.
Yeah, he wants to be in with you. He wants to be in here with you. He wants to have that relationship and he wants to help you. He wants to like here, hold my hand. Mm-hmm. Like, I got you. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, instead, I'm like, no, I'm good. Mm-hmm. You know, like, yeah. So it's a control thing. Mm-hmm. And, but I love that part. And it just really spoke to me. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. The reason I made that comment, I'm good at it, because that's the part that hit me too, is, so I actually went up to have him pray for me afterwards, because when he was the one section on, I don't know what he titled it, if it was like our thinking or rational, or I forget what word he actually used, but that described me. Like, that's the way God made me. And that's what he actually prayed for me. He said, no, this is who you are and this is how God made you, but he wants to keep you like submitted and surrendered to still him being over that and to use it the way he wants it to. And so that's the part that can be a little challenging. It's like, there's things that come natural to us that we're good at, mm-hmm. and it's great. And that's the way God made us. But when we, like, I think a lot of what you said about control is the big issue. When we then want to exert and step into that the way we want to versus, okay, God, how do you want me to use this? How do you want me to live the way you've designed me that would glorify you? And that's the part for me. With my rational thinking, I think a lot of times I can do that, but I can even see it coming on where I over-rely on my analysis or my thinking. Yeah. And then I can start seeing the same thing as you were describing, that anxiety starts to build and this, like, why am I so tense? Why am I holding on? And it's like, it comes on so slowly where sometimes I don't catch it. And then it's like, oh my gosh, I'm trying to do it all myself now. And so right now, yeah, I think I'm battling that in certain areas, but I felt like, okay, I need to go get prayer for that, because I know that's a way the enemy can kind of put a wedge between me and God.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. No, I think I battle with that probably every day, mm-hmm. With every aspect of, every part of life, actually, even like basic things. Mm. Trying to find my thoughts.
That's right. We can kick it to Damon. Say, Damon, what do you think while I'm pondering?
I mean, I think that's kind of what we're talking about, is something that I've been kind of wrestling with sometimes, is just how sometimes the things that we're good at, because we're good at it, it's easy for us to just do it on our own, mm-hmm. right? Instead of inviting the Lord into it. It's like, oh, I'm good at that. I can do that by myself. I don't need mm-hmm. his help in that mm-hmm. area. But then one of the things that I feel like he's been challenging me with is like, if I can do this amount on my own, think about how much more I could do with him involved too. Mm. So it's like, you know, one of the things we talk about with Strength Finders, right? And, you know, pouring into the things that we're good at, and we can get a lot more out of it. And it's like, well, even more so when we invite the Lord into those places that we're good at already, think about how much more can be accomplished or how much more can be done when it's the strengths that he's given us plus him in the midst of everything, as opposed to just us using that on our own strength or in our own flesh. And I think that's a challenge, because sometimes it's just easy. It's like, oh, I can take care of that. I can do that myself. But what does it look like for us to be able to invite the Lord into those places too?
Well, I think even tied in with that, it's, you can look at it in that lens of more productivity, but then also you can look at it and when you partner with God, how much less baggage you have with you too. Mm-hmm. So it's the productivity might be increased, but it might just be, oh no, I can still do the same, but I have so much more capacity now in other ways, like with my family, with my other relationships, because I'm not carrying this other burden in this area that I'm actually really good at, but I'm striving out of my flesh.
Yeah, I think carrying the burden for sure for me is like it's the biggest thing too. Mm. And it partly I think also ties in with my trust. Mm. And so that's why, you know, God's been highlighting that to me for so long, because he's like, you still don't trust me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, here are all these like blessings and, you know, all these, just everyone in your life, like everything. Mm-hmm. And it's like, why don't you still trust me? And here I am like relying on or putting my, I don't know, I guess, looking at the world and just like thinking, that's what's causing my anxiety or my stress. And it's like, but you can't even do anything about it. Mm. So it's like, who cares? Mm. You know, it's like, yeah, you, and obviously I'm talking about like what's going on, I feel like, in the world. And so it's like, you can only, you know, I can control. I can be with my family and I can do those things. Mm-hmm. And I can have a relationship with God and I can trust him, mm-hmm. but I'm still not. Yeah.
So using the language of keep your love on.
Yeah.
Right. Is you can be a powerful person and there's certain things that you can control, which is yourself. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of things that you can't control, but if we allow the Lord to carry those things that and trust him with those things that we can't control, and we focus on the things that we can control, then that changes the burden that we have to carry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting as you're describing your journey with trust, because I've been on that journey. I mean, I know, all Christians as they mature go on that journey. And I'm listening to your explanation. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember going through that season a long time ago. Yeah. And I don't want to burst your bubble, but it's an ongoing thing.
No, and
so you get to certain, but it's cool because you get to certain levels. And now I'm looking back, like what are things the Lord is asking me to trust in? They're different. And I couldn't have even taken this step before. I would have given up because I wasn't mature enough. But it's cool how the Lord brings you to those places of developing your trust in measure with what you can handle and what you kind of like your level of faith. And that's not a knock on anybody, but it's like if he asks us to jump too far, it's like we just can't. It's like it's too big of a leap. But I love how you're describing that, and it's like this ongoing thing, and that you're recognizing that, man, I just need to trust him more. But it's like an easy thing to get in your head, but then to live and act on it, it's like, oh man, that means I have to change this. I have to break this cycle. I have to do this.
And spend more time with him.
Yes.
I think that, that alone, I think, will change everything. It's just, and again, it just, with all the distractions and everything, you know, what you have, your daily task and, you know, your schedule. And if you have work, and it's just, it's hard.
Oh, if you have kids.
If you have kids, yes. I think my kids are.
You have young kids.
They take all my patience and energy.
And I think that's one reason why, you know, the enemy has tried to attack our will, and is because there are so many things pulling at us nowadays that if we don't have a strong enough will, then we're just going to be pulled in so many different directions and not be intentional about using that time to be with the Lord, which will actually help change some of those other things that are going on. And then we just get pulled by the wind and all the different things that are pulling at our time and our attention. But we need to strengthen our will. Mm. And I think that's one of the reasons that Pastor Barry was so determined to have his
mini habits
class. And he, you know, for the last round of Kingdom classes, he was teaching two classes plus giving the sermon a lot of times too. So, I mean, that's a lot. I mean, I did one class and I didn't even do the sermon, and I was like tired a lot. So for Pastor Barry to do two classes plus the sermon, that's a lot. But one of the reasons that he was so determined to do that is just because he recognizes the need for us to strengthen our will, right? Because in these seasons that are coming up, and especially with the things that are going on in the world, we need to have a strong enough will that we can be intentional about things like you're talking about. There's so many things that are pulling at our attention. If we aren't intentional about spending that time with the Lord, then we could go the whole day and just forget, just because there's so many things that are already pulling our time.
For sure. And I love the mini habits thing. I think everyone should be doing that, because obviously it takes a while to get to an actual habit.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it's just, okay, I want to read my Bible every day, but I still don't, I don't do that. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to open it every day. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to open it. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I'm going to open it and read mm-hmm. like one verse.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, two verses and so on. Mm-hmm. But how do you do that when you're so distracted?
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the biggest thing. And then like you said, oh, I'll just do that tomorrow. Or I'll do that this weekend.
Yeah.
Because then I'm not working on the weekend. But it's like, really? Like God's working every day. Like, I mean, you know, it's like, why am I setting time? And actually what I've been doing is I've been putting on my phone like reminders to do these things, because obviously I'm going to be on my phone all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I've just been doing that because that's what works for me.
Mm-hmm. And then after,
very technical, but
it is. But then after a season too, that becomes more ingrained.
Yes,
and then it's actually not totally dependent on the technology.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually want to hear, or I want you to bring up what you said to me this morning, Damon, about
what did I say this? I don't remember what
I know, that's why I'm going to tee it up for you about like being kind of passive but not passive. I'll say it that way, cuz I want you to say it the way you said it to me, cuz I think there's something behind that where in there's ways we can talk about God in our relationship where it seems very just hands off and things just have to kind of go on their own, versus, well, do we have like responsibility to be more active?
Okay, so now I kind of remember what I was talking about with Kyle.
I wasn't going to leave you totally hanging. Come on, man.
We were prepping for the episode, just kind of talking about what we could, directions we could go. And one of the things that came to mind yesterday that was a potential thing we could talk about was what does it look like to wait? Mm-hmm. And the other term that came to mind was actively waiting. So, you know, sometimes it can be easy to say like, oh, this is coming in the future, I'm just going to do nothing and just wait for it to happen, right? That's what patience looks like, is just waiting. But is there something for us to do in the waiting? What does it look like for us to like actively wait? And, you know, one of the reasons that this came up is, I don't remember if it was 1 Thessalonians or 2 Thessalonians, but that was one of the themes of those letters, was they knew that the day of the Lord was coming, you know, so they were anticipating Jesus coming back, but a lot of times they were just like, okay, Jesus is going to come back, so we'll just be lazy and do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then so Paul was kind of calling them out and saying, no, you can't just do nothing. You have, the Lord is still calling you to do things, so it's not just waiting and doing nothing in anticipation of his return. It's how are you preparing yourself for his return, right? So I think sometimes we're in seasons where it just seems like we're waiting for things. And so what does it look like to trust and obey in those seasons of waiting? Because sometimes it could feel like, okay, I'm waiting for this. So to trust means I'm just going to be patient and wait. But what if the Lord is calling us to actually do something active and participate in the waiting? What does that look like? So that was kind of something that I thought that was going through my head. And now I can ask Kyle or Katie, how do you respond to that?
I'll get your thoughts. So for me, it's interesting, because I think when I hear that, it's our society is very much on busyness, tasks, performance. And I think that's partly what the distraction part is too. But because the distractions are, we're always doing something. And so I think in our time with the Lord, like being like silence and solitude is hard for me too. But that's actually active, right? It seems like we're not doing anything, but we're actually clearing our minds so that way we can hear the Lord better. So that's actually a very active thing. But in society's terms, that's being like very passive, right?
Yeah.
So to me, it's trying to, when I heard you say it this morning, it reminded me of just really being countercultural.
Mm.
Our culture is telling us, no, that's not valuable. There's not any worth in that. But in things that the Lord values, there a lot of them are simple, and the activity isn't that noticeable, or it's not maybe measurable by worldly standards. But it's like more the internal peace and quietness and calmness to be able to let things, oh, that's not phasing me because I'm in a better place. So yeah, that tension of actively waiting, it's like, that seems like an oxymoron, but really like, oh no, there's things we can do as we're waiting on the Lord to reveal, you know, next steps.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, I had to clear my throat.
It always happens right when you're getting ready to talk.
Always. Huh? I'm like, oh, I have a thought. No, I thought about basically kind of like cultures too, and how, you know, I was born and raised in France. Mm-hmm. And over there, people actually just spend, I mean, it takes probably 4-5 hours to eat dinner.
Yes.
It's basically like you start with more of like an appetizer with, you know, some wine. Then like whoever's cooking is kind of finishing up the meal so that it's like fresh and hot or whatever. And then you like start eating dinner around like 8 or 9, mm-hmm. and you're still eating till 11, mm-hmm. you know, and then you end with salad or cheese mm-hmm. and bread. Mm-hmm. It's like super, it's crazy. But basically the whole time too, like people just kind of talk or just they're with each other and it just seems like it takes forever. And I didn't realize that we really did that and we took so long when 2 years ago we went back to France with Nigel and the kids. Mm-hmm. And Nigel had so much anxiety just doing nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. And yes. He was like, this is like, can I go outside with Tyson and play, like,
yeah.
do something? And yes. I'm like, I mean, sure, but like, I'm good just sitting here and just, you know, be with people. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's two, like, there's, here in the U.S., like you said, people are task-oriented and they need to be doing something all the time. Like, we need to be doing something all the time. And that's how I feel, too. And oftentimes when I end up feeling like I'm rushed or mm-hmm. I start to, like, kind of raise my voice to the kids even mm-hmm. though they didn't mm-hmm. do anything, mm-hmm. and it's just because they're not going fast enough. Mm-hmm. It's like they're not going fast enough according to me, though, right? Like, to how the world wants me to be, like, mm-hmm. if you're going this slow, you're not doing well. Mm. But if you're going fast, you're doing well. Mm. You know, it's the same thing with if you work at a corporate job type of thing. Mm. And so I end up, like, kind of recentering myself and just going outside. Mm-hmm. And I put a little fountain outside now because water just, like, calm. Mm. It's so calming. Mm-hmm. That's why people go to the beach and just look at the ocean. Mm-hmm. You're not doing anything else but look at the ocean, the water. That's it. Mm-hmm. And it's so, it's just, you can tell that we as people just kind of need to be in that calmness and stillness and just, I don't know, refine your peace, I guess, and refine your, you know, like your.
Well, it's like separate from our society because yeah. that's the barrier, the blockage from, yeah. from connecting with God.
Yeah, and I go and pray outside now. Mm. I can't even do it inside the house. Like, if I even just open a little bit, I see Sophie on one eye. And, I mean, there's no privacy at home for anything. So I just go outside and, yeah.
I think it's funny, too, that when you were talking, it brought to mind something I saw on social media recently was someone asked one of the AIs, I don't remember which AI it was, but how do you keep people like sick and tired and frustrated, and they said, and the first thing that it said was disconnect them from nature.
Yes.
Mm. Keep them inside all the time, disconnect them from nature, make it so that their circadian rhythm is off because, you know, our bodies were designed to be a part of nature and, you know, to wake up when the sun comes up and to go to sleep when the sun goes down and things like that. And so if you're able to disconnect them from that, then their life is going to be harder, more difficult, more frustrating, more anxiety, more stress, more all these things. And so I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's so true. And it's the same with like the kids too. It recently, I just kind of, I noticed when, I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago, the kids were inside the whole time, you know, and obviously Nigel's gone right now for 2 weeks. So the kids were inside. I had meetings all day. Mm. So they were inside only doing like whatever they were doing. And obviously I was taking care of them. but had meetings all day. And then towards the end of the day, Sophie was like, I want to go outside. And I'm like, oh yeah, go outside. Like, that's fine. she opened her sandbox and she was just kind of like sitting there playing with her sand. Tyson came out and they were playing outside for hours and it was kind of late. Mm-hmm. But I think she like kind of sensed that she just didn't spend enough time outside. Mm. And she was just more at peace. She wasn't like constantly pulling on me or wanting attention for things. She was just doing her own thing over there, like barefoot on the grass, which is what we need to do. And, you know, like it's just all these things. And it's just, yeah, it kind of, we need to be outside and spend time outside and go in the sun. And yeah, so not to be all hippie about it.
No, but it's funny that the, you know, the AIs are even saying that type of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Too, right?
No. So. And I think I've seen so many things from like an AI being either manipulative now or things like that. I mean, they're starting to, that thing scares me.
Okay, I want to have her back on for that kind of discussion. Cause, that, no, because I think we need to talk about those types of the AI thing. But anyways, I don't want to go down that path because we could spend an hour and a half on that.
And then
probably.
We'll go on to other paths. And then I can share all my conspiracy theories.
But it's interesting when you were describing the meals in France. So my sister-in-law is French Basque, and so when we met her family the first time, I remember this. It was out in Azusa. There's a French Basque restaurant, and it was like a 4-hour dinner. And it was like, they bring out a course, and then you eat, but then you talk for 30 minutes.
Yes,
and then the next course comes out.
To an hour, yeah.
And then it's like, and then you talk, and it was like four courses, and it was like we got out at like 10 o'clock, and we started at 6. I mean, it was like it was crazy. But it was so I totally resonate with Nigel's feel because it felt like this is like going
like
on
too
long.
You needed to be doing something,
yes.
Right? Like,
but it's so that and then combined with Mimo's family lives up in Yakima, Central Washington, small town. When we first would go up there when we were first married, it would take me like if you go for a week, it would take me like 2 or 3 days to kind of decompress.
Yeah,
the first 2-3 days, I'm like, there's nothing to do. Like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And it was always that kind of feeling. And now I get a little bit of that. But now I actually like going up there because I know there's not a lot to do. And I can just relax and kind of be lazy in a sense.
Yeah.
For like, and I feel like it's more of a vacation.
Yeah.
But I was so programmed before and it was so hard to get out of it. And the reason I bring it up is because I want our listeners to also like do some self-reflecting of, how has our society influenced us that way where, okay, God wants us to be quiet with him for 20 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it is. And it's like, we can't do it because it feels uncomfortable. Or it's like, you know, I can't get my mind to stop. Okay, well, that's a good indicator that you need to take some steps then to, okay, how can I increase my capacity to be quiet, to put things aside. What you just said a little bit ago, Katia, about going outside to read. I'm like, you got to find whatever works for you.
Absolutely.
You know, and there's certain places for me too that are very distracting. I do most of mine on the couch right now because if I sit in a chair at the kitchen table, it feels too structured and too rigid or performance based. I'm doing a class or something. But if I sit on the couch, I'm more relaxed and I feel like I then can like let my guard down a little bit more with God. So we all got to find what that is. But the problem I think with a lot of us is we can recognize it, but then it's like, yeah, I don't know if I want to go that
far. We're not doing it.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
But the work
I'm not doing it. Yeah. We have to.
Okay. Before we move on, you guys used a term that I am very unfamiliar with and you guys were like, so what is French Basque? I don't even know what that means.
Well, from what I know, there's the Basque. It's a people group, but it's in between France and Spain. So there's French Basque and Spanish Basque. So they're in the mountains area over there, kind of, right?
Or yes. Not? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that kind
It's like an area.
It's an area.
It's like an area. And they have the best cheese. Oh, my goodness.
But they're very strong with their culture. The Basque people, they
strong.
Are very, we're Basque. We're French Basque. We're not just French, like. They,
yes.
Yeah, it's
yes.
So they have cultural dancing. So I've kind of watched my nephews and nieces. It's really cool. I mean, they're an awesome community, very family oriented and stuff.
Yeah.
But
very community and
Okay, good to know. Because when you guys are, I was like, you guys are talking like you're very familiar enough. I'm sure there's going to be a few listeners that are in the same boat as me and they're like, what are they talking about?
Any last thoughts on this? I mean, just in obedience in general?
I mean, I think one of the things that came to mind as you were talking about some of the times where it's difficult for us to be in silence is, you know, there are opportunities for us to do that that I think are semi-easy to bake in. Like maybe it's turning off the radio in the car. Mm. Maybe it's, you know, just spending that time. Maybe even if it's just like the last five minutes of my drive, I'm just going to turn the radio off, you know. Because a lot of times we're just so bombarded by information, by music, by just different noises, different stuff. And so it doesn't necessarily mean, okay, I have to go out and go on a walk, or I have to, maybe sometimes it's just turning things off.
And those could be good things too, right? Like yeah. Worship music or a Christian podcast, but turning off you're basically getting that noise to kind of turn off for a little bit.
Yeah, and for myself, that was a season that I was in towards the end of last year. And I think I've shared about it on the podcast, but, you know, I felt like the Lord was just saying, you know, a lot of times some of these things that you're doing that are good are really filters for you. And so mm-hmm. I want to speak to you kind of face to face and not through a filter, right? Hearing a message from someone, that's great. Hearing worship music, that's great. Maybe there's times where the Lord just says, I want to be face to face with you. And so that was one of the things that I felt like the Lord challenged me with. And so I had to turn the radio off. I wasn't watching movies, wasn't listening to podcasts for a season, just because I felt like he said, I want to speak to you face to face.
Okay. So I just thought of one more question I have for you, Katia. So this journey with obedience and like trust with the Lord, how have you seen that shape you as a mom? And how have you seen that shape you as with what do you want or maybe even long for your kids as they grow up and mature?
Can you repeat the first part?
Well, just how has that shaped you as a mom? Like seeing this pathway of going towards obedience and trusting God, like how has that shaped you in your parenting? And then... You can just start with that.
I think I definitely want to be more present because I'm here, but the distraction is making me not as present as I want to be. So I think, I don't know, I guess more present, more... intentional, mm-hmm. I think, with the kids. Yeah. And I think just for me, reading my Bible and having that knowledge to also give to my kids, like on a daily, not just, and Tyson does that. He's so good. Mm. I mean, he's read his Bible so many times, but I want to be more like him, I think, too, in that sense. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I guess just kind of, I want to be more in silence too and just be more calm and more at peace with things so that I want things to be more slow with the kids.
Yeah, 'cause I heard you share early on about just understanding like who Father God is, like as a father in this journey. So then I'm assuming then that translates into, wow, you're in the child spot, right? Where he's the parent, so to speak. But then, because I've seen that impact me as well, like, oh, as I kind of understand what a child, parent-child relationship is with God, like, oh, okay, I want to do aspects of that. I want to learn how to do that with my own kids, where it's hard because there are certain patterns or certain behaviors and responses that I had built in already. I'm like, okay, that's probably not good, but how do I fix that or how do I change that? So I'm guessing that you're on maybe a similar journey. Like,
yeah, and I think I realized that kind of going back to why I didn't have that relationship with God is because, and I think I figured that out during Pastor Barry's class, is I wasn't viewing my earthly father in my relationship as a relationship at all. Mm. He was a good dad, but I don't think I've had a relationship with him. And so I thought, well, there's no such thing as, like, you can't have a relationship with God that way. Like, you know, I mean, like, he's like your dad, like mm-hmm. he's God, mm-hmm. and but actually he's funny mm-hmm. and like sweet too, you know. And so I wasn't seeing that side. Mm. And I did hear a lot when I am hearing him even today, is he's definitely stern still. Mm-hmm. But he's very sweet because he's always reminding me that he loves me. Mm. So that's the biggest thing, is I wasn't hearing that mm-hmm. from my earthly mm-hmm. father. So hearing that from him was a shock. Mm. It was like, wow, like I'm actually loved, you know, like that's
yeah, yeah.
'Cause like you need to hear that as a kid.
Yes, yeah.
And so because of that, I think, and even my relationship with both of my parents, because of the lack of certain areas, mm-hmm. I'm completely opposite with my kids. And I think I mm-hmm. want to be like that. I mm-hmm. want them to know I love them, mm-hmm. that I'm always here for them. And if they cry about something or if they get hurt, I'm here. Mm-hmm. Like, it's okay if, to me, it's like, why are you crying? Mm-hmm. But to them, it's like, it's a problem for them. Like, mm-hmm. they're actually hurt about something, right. or, you know, they need me there. And I want them to know that I'm here. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing with God. Mm-hmm. And so definitely as a parent, I want to have that relationship. I want to have a relationship with God so that I can have that same relationship with my kids.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think for me, when you're describing that, that's one of the keys of deepening our trust with God, is experiencing the fullness of his character. And I think we all of our earthly parents have certain aspects where they probably weren't good examples of that, or maybe even bad examples, but we have to kind of learn how to pull those pieces in. Like the sternness, like God still has all that. He has that, but he has this other side. He has this complete balance, but if we only know one side, or we can only trust in one side, then we're not, our trust is lacking.
Yeah.
So that's cool how you're describing that journey you're on.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love figuring out like certain, like there was one time, I can't remember what happened, but Tyson and I were laughing about something and we both said, oh, God is so funny. Because he like, it was just like a thing that happened. And yeah. I was like, see, God just made yeah. us laugh. Like he's just, he likes to mm-hmm. joke around mm-hmm. too.
Yeah.
And so
awesome.
I was like, wow, I didn't realize that, because I thought God was just God
yeah.
again, you
yeah.
know? So.
Yeah, you can take that and run with it, Damon.
No, I mean, I definitely agree that there are times where
we're both okay, looking okay. at Damon.
Katie is laughing because she hasn't been here before, but this always happens. One of us points and you're like, you get this facial reactions like, oh man, me? Like, now what? And so she got to see Damon's face like, oh man, I got to think on my toes.
I told you, I get distracted by the accent. No, I definitely agree that the Lord is funny, and there are so many different sides to the Lord if we allow him mm. to show them to us, mm. right? Sometimes we expect the Lord to respond to us in a certain way, and so that's what we hear. Even if he is presenting himself in a different way, there are times where we need to be more open to saying, what does the fullness of God's character look like? And not just, okay, I'm expecting him to come down on me hard for this situation. So even when he comes down in a loving way, we're receiving it in a harsh way, right? And so I think that that happens to us just in general in our relationship. Sometimes mm-hmm. we're expecting, oh, they're going to respond to me like this. And so that's what we're hearing, even mm-hmm. when it's not presented in that way. And we do that with the Lord too. And so I think there's times where we need to kind of not come up with our walls up, mm-hmm. but have our walls down and just come with a humble attitude and ask the Lord, like, how do you want to respond to me in this way? Let me be open to the fullness of what you have for me and not just expect it to come in this way. And he might surprise us with something funny, or
yeah,
I know that I've been surprised before. I'll give an example. One of the tools that they teach in IPM is being able to go into the heavenly courtroom.
What's IPM?
Intensive
prayer ministry.
Oh, okay.
It's not intense. It's intensive, so it's kind of comprehensive, yeah. but it's not
deep. Yeah.
It's deep. It's actually really fun. It's actually really fun. I'm the number two cheerleader for IPM. So Henry is the number one cheerleader, and I've been told that I cannot replace him as the number one. So I will gladly take number two. Okay, so anyway, so one of the tools that they teach you, because for a lot of people, receiving forgiveness is hard. Mm-hmm. And so one of the tools that they teach us is to go into the courtroom and then to receive from the Lord the verdict that we've been justified by Christ.
Because there's verses in Old Testament that talk about the heavenly courts and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that's where it's drawn from. It's not just like an imaginary tool to kind of like get what you
want. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, they teach how to go up into the courtroom and to present yourself to the Lord. So, you know, when you think of a courtroom, it's pretty serious. Like, you know, I mean, I've been on jury duty a couple times. Like, you go in there and it's like, oh, I got to be quiet. It's pretty serious, right? So one of the times that I went up there into the heavenly court, like, I saw the Lord, and he was just, like, joking around, and he was, like, messing. I was like, this is a courtroom. Isn't it supposed to be serious in here? And he was just like, it can be fun, too. And I was like, this is, like, mind-boggling to me. Because, I was expecting, you know, he's the judge. He's going to be serious and stern. And not to say that it diminished what happened in there, but it just was like, oh, the Lord is speaking to me in this moment, and he's trying to shift my perspective on who he is and what this whole scenario is like. And I was like, whoa, this is a different experience. But yeah, so when you're talking about the Lord can joke around too, it's like, yeah, I've experienced that too. Even in the middle of the courtroom, the Lord is like joking around and messing with me. And it's like, weird.
Yeah, so for me, it's just the more we understand God's fullness, then it makes obedience, it actually makes it enjoyable, because we know that it's for our good and we can trust him and all that stuff. But if we're doing it from a lens where we're only seeing partial aspects of him, it can make trust and obedience both very challenging.
Yeah. And I think it's been interesting because the last few weeks, the story of Joseph has come up a lot. So I know the Lord's been highlighting that to me personally, and you know, that's why I shared about it in the multi-gen a couple weeks ago. But when I was talking to Dylan after First Friday, he said that, because Sebastian went to First Friday as well, and he shared at First Friday, and he said that he talked about Joseph also. And then on Tuesday at our staff meeting, Sebastian brought a couple of friends from YWAM as well, from YWAM Columbia, and they shared about Joseph as well. So I was like, oh, this is interesting.
Can I add
so many connections to Joseph?
Can I add one more to that?
Sure.
So on the Japan team, so Wednesday in Japan, the kids were doing like their final school performance. So they were reciting this and doing songs, and like our team was involved with some of it. So we were watching it because Mima goes, oh, it's live right now if you want to watch. So it was a couple nights ago we were watching it. And you know the amazing part? They recited the whole story of Joseph from memory. So each kid had different sections in English. So that was part of their English class.
And that's
so
a long story too. Was. It's not a short story.
So each kid had like multiple parts, but they would do like sections, like big paragraphs, and they were doing it in English. And then I'm like, oh, Joseph's story again. So it kind of popped in my mind. Like, man, I've been hearing this a lot lately.
Yeah. And so, you know, one of the things that really stands out to me about his story is just, his life was not easy,
no.
But in each step he had to obey and trust, right? So even
he had a choice to, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had a choice and he had to choose to do that. And even like sharing the dreams that he had at the beginning, right? He could have chosen, oh, I'm going to keep, my brothers are not going to like this, I'm going to keep this to myself, but he chose to share those dreams, right? Even when he was thrown in jail, right? He had to choose to recognize that the cupbearer and the baker looked downtrodden and ask them why and interpret the dreams, right? Even before that, when Potiphar's wife was trying to get him to do things that he shouldn't be doing, he had to choose to say no because that's not the right thing to do. You're married to someone else, right? And so all along the way, he had to choose, even in, you know, some of these things were to his own peril.
Yeah, the outcomes weren't good on the sense. Yeah.
But in the grand picture, because he chose to trust, then he became the person who is able to provide for his family and help his family to thrive in the midst of a difficult time. So yeah, sometimes trusting is hard and obedience is hard. And sometimes the outcomes of the obedience are not what we expect in the short term. But that's where it's important for us to know that God is good and that he's a good father and that he has our best in mind in the big picture.
I know we're running a little bit long on time, but I wanted to bring up Sarah's testimony when she came up to share too on Sunday. That to me really touched me because as a mom, and she's like hearing from everybody, you shouldn't take your kid, you shouldn't go do that. That's dangerous. That's going to put their life at risk. That's going to put their health at risk. And she had to wrestle with that. And I'm like, wow, that was a serious act of obedience for her to do that. And then it was the cool part is, you know, the baby didn't get any mosquito bites, but they got tons.
I love that story.
But you don't know that going in. You don't know. It's like, okay, God, well, maybe she'll still get a bunch of mosquito bites and she won't get sick. Maybe she'll get sick. You just don't know.
I mean, she had to trust. Totally. You know, that it was, and it's like such a hard thing because you're listening to all, she was listening to, you know, her family and friends, saying like, that's not a good idea. You shouldn't go. And it's like, but deep down she knew she had to, you know, she had to go. And the fact that she went and the baby, had no mosquito bites, like that was amazing. And, I love that story. I think her story really touched me. Mm-hmm. Like I was tearing up a few times, but again, yes, like for me, I tend to always listen to people's opinion and, I relate to a lot of people when they say, you know, I'm a people pleaser or I, you know, instead of really like trusting God again and I listen to them more than I listen to God, I think. And, that was good to hear from me. Especially as a mom too.
Yeah.
There's so many opinions out there and you know your kids more than anybody else. Mm-hmm. So it's, you have to make the best decision for them.
Yeah. And even for that one, it's situational too. Like
for sure, yeah.
That was good advice, right? And from a worldly sense, it's like, why put, that's just wait, just do it next year. Like that's, then the baby will be safer, you know, vaccinated, whatever. Like,
cause she talked like the baby didn't have all the shots.
Right. Right. Cause it's just too young. So, I mean, there's worldly wisdom and that's not always bad. But then when it conflicts with, but God called me to do this, that's like some of those Joseph situations. There's like some of it that goes against worldly wisdom and in a way that like that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But when you feel the conviction and when you know that, but the God is calling me to do this, I don't know why, I don't know the outcome, but I feel like I need to step into it. That's the part where it's like, oh my gosh, for her to do that as a new mom, first time mom too, and like 3 months old or something, the baby.
Like, I think that's 3 months at that
that's
time.
Like, wow, that was a serious step of faith. And I was blessed to hear it, but also challenged. And for me as a rational thinker too, I gravitate towards what makes sense, what's logical, but God's ways aren't always logical. So that's where I get in trouble sometimes, where I overemphasize, okay, I know the decision. It's obvious. It's this, this, and this. But then it's like, God's like, yeah, this and this, but change that one to this. And I'm like, but that doesn't make sense. So we all have our areas where we can hold on to our own giftings or whatever in a way that kind of discounts or takes us away from God. So that was, that was really inspiring for me.
Yeah, it was.
All right, Katia, do you have any last thoughts before we let you go on this episode? Because obviously you're coming back, but...
I feel like I can do it again.
It wasn't that bad, right?
It wasn't bad.
That's pretty much how everybody's like so nervous coming in, and it's just conversation.
No, but
so.
I know I'm going to drive home and be like, oh, I wanted to talk about this.
Oh, yeah.
Even more reason for you to come back.
We always do that too. So.
I'm going to take notes and be like, okay, this is what I want to talk about next. So grateful for Catalyst, I think. Not to be all weird about it, but it's like, I think you guys really like changed my life, like with everyone, just everyone. And I was telling I was telling Damon too that I love that we're in a community where people actually really do care for each other. So, and that I know that if one day I don't show up to church, someone eventually will check on me. And it's just, it's like nice to feel like, obviously sometimes I don't want anyone to check on me, but at the same time, it's like actually a really nice thing because people notice that you were not there. And, and even though people, you may look at it as, oh, like, you know, I like people notice that I wasn't there, but it's actually, they notice because they do care. And they notice, you know, it's, and it's just, I've never had that kind of church community. And even if when sometimes I visit other churches just to support someone, it's just not the same. It's not. And there's no church like Catalyst. And I'm just, I feel so blessed. So.
Oh, cool. Thanks. Thanks
well,
for sharing.
Well, we're very blessed that you're a part of our community too. And that's why we check on you. So thank you also for listening, because I know that you're a regular listener. And thank you for coming on the podcast.
Yes. So thank you.
Maybe we'll have to try a 4-hour dinner at Catalyst sometime.
Yes.
Introduce people to some 4-hour meals with long breaks in between.
From 6 to 9, from 6 to 10.
Yeah.
Maybe we should just start with inviting ourselves over to Katie's house for 6 to 10.
Actually, people start eating at 9, and then it's so crazy. But we'll do that.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks again, Katia. We're looking forward to having you on again in the future. For the rest of you out there, thanks for listening to another episode of Engage to Flourish. Until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.